Nice to see you all. My name's Ben, if we haven't met. We're going to be looking at Psalm 150 that Glenn's just read for us. I'll pray and then we'll start. Father God, thank you so much for another chance to read your words this afternoon and to be taught by them as we listen to what you say through the Bible. Please help us now, regardless of whatever else could be on our minds, to focus on this. And please help us to be encouraged by this passage and challenged too, and to leave church today changed into people who live more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've just prayed, help us to be encouraged and challenged, and that's exactly how I felt as I've prepared this. I felt really, really encouraged, huge encouragement, but also huge challenge as well. Huge encouragement and huge challenge. And I think if you're anything like me, then hopefully by the end you'll agree that this is hugely encouraging and hugely challenging. And not just because we read the word dancing. That is a challenge as well, though. So Psalm 150 tells us to praise God quite a lot. You might have seen that. And today, basically, I want us to take our praise of God and turn it a bit more into what it should look like and change it a little bit and make it what it should be, which is more wholehearted. Because that's what I think this passage calls us to do. So I've been praying that after we've looked at Psalm 150, our praise to God would be more wholehearted and that we would join the psalmist in praising God wholeheartedly. That's why we're going to read it at the end as well. Because when you basically boil it down, and at its core, Psalm 150 is a call for all living creatures to praise God wholeheartedly. So it's a call for all living creatures to praise God wholeheartedly. Psalm 150 is the last psalm, like Glenn mentioned. And you could kind of call psalms as a whole book the songbook of Israel. It's what the Old Testament Israel used to sing from. And as the last psalm, Psalm 150, draws the book of psalms to a close. And it's on this note of overwhelming praise to God. Unhindered and unhesitant, it's this grand finale with no reservations. And it's wholehearted praise to God. And we see that in the bookends of the last psalm. So have a look at your Bible. The bookends of Psalm 150, how it starts and finishes, we've got praise the Lord. And we've got exactly the same bookends from the last five psalms. So Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, and then this one, 150, all start and end with praise the Lord. So all of these last psalms at the end of the book are structured around praising God. For my birthday in early December, it was the 7th of December, so now you know the date, I look forward to presents. For my birthday, I asked Ellie for a sketchbook. Ellie's really good at art. She did it at A-level and specialised it when she was training to be a teacher. She did extra art and history, basically. I'm rubbish at art. I've never been any good at it. I made my secondary school art teacher dislike me because she thought I wasn't trying. I was just bad. But Ellie bought me this sketchbook, and one weekend she gave me a bit of an art lesson. She was showing me that I would do a drawing, and then basically when I was adding colour to the drawing, I never pressed harder or softer with my pencil when I was colouring, so it just sort of looked plain, a bit boring. And she showed me that it's really obvious, everyone knows it, but if you press firmer with your pencil, you get a bit of a darker colour as you colour. And it makes it look like you've got some shadows or could look a bit more 3D or something. And it improved my drawings. So she got me to draw a rectangle, and then we started at one end of the rectangle, sort of shading in a colour but hardly letting our pencil touch the page. And then we went along the rectangle, get a little bit firmer every time. And by the end of it, we were pressing quite hard on the paper with our pencils. And we ended up with like a gradient in this rectangle. And you could actually imagine the book of Psalms as a bit of a gradient like that. So it's not quite the same because there are ups and downs and there's variety along the way. But Psalms as a book generally goes from lament, which is sort of expression of grief and regret about something. So from lament to praise, it's a bit more complicated than that. But generally there's this gradient from lament along to praise. And because we haven't looked at 149 psalms up to this one, we haven't really seen that. But in Psalm 150, we're at the end of that gradient that's gone from lament to praise. And now the pencil of praise is pressed really firmly onto page 634 of our Bibles, because in Psalm 150, this is total, unfiltered, unhesitant praise to God. And it's the climax of the book of Psalms. That's how it ends. And if Psalm 150 is the climax of the book of Psalms, then 150 verse 6 is the climax of the climax. Verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So today we'll look at this wholehearted praise, and hopefully we'll take our praise and make it a bit more wholehearted in response. The psalmist is telling all creatures to offer wholehearted praise to God, and we're going to look at the where, the why, and the how of that praise. So the first of those we'll do now, the where of that praise. So it's praise God and it's where. That's our first section if you're making any notes. We're just looking at verse 1 for this one. Basically, the answer to that question, where to praise God, according to this psalm, is in two places. So the first one, well, let's read verse 1 first, shall we? Verse 1, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. So it's two places. The first one, God's sanctuary, that's Old Testament language. It's language that's to do with the way that God's people used to live in Old Testament times. So in the Old Testament, God's sanctuary was the earthly dwelling place of God. It was where God was, and where his heavenly presence touched earth. And that place, God's sanctuary, was part of the temple. So the psalmist is telling the people on earth to praise God in that Old Testament place, God's sanctuary in the temple. And the original readers of Psalm 150, the ones who used Psalm 150 and all the other psalms as their songbook, they had that temple to worship in. So that's what they were reading. They were reading people on earth at the time of writing, praise God in the temple where you come to worship him. That's the first place. But when we start to think about where that first place is for us, it's going to look a bit different, because we're not living in those Old Testament times. So we don't worship in this Old Testament temple, this building. It's going to look different. The psalm was written in those Old Testament times, but from our point of view, we know Jesus has come to earth, which brought to an end those Old Testament times and started off those New Testament times. And when Jesus came to earth, he told us that he has replaced the Old Testament temple. He told us he'd replaced the Old Testament temple. He's fulfilled that picture of the temple where God's heavenly presence touched earth, because Jesus was God in human flesh. So he was literally God's heavenly presence touching earth and then dwelling among us. So for us, as people living in these New Testament post-Jesus times, verse 1 calls us to praise God not in the temple sanctuary like it would have for the Old Testament people. It tells us to praise God in and through Jesus, who's the new temple that we have. Through Jesus, we can praise God wherever we are. It doesn't matter what building we're in, because he's our access to God's heavenly presence touching earth now. It's not the Old Testament temple. So praise God, the psalm says. And where should we praise God? The first place is in his sanctuary on earth. For the original readers, the temple. For us, it's through Jesus. And the second place, in answer to the question, is actually in his mighty heavens. So it's a call, it's not for us, it's for those in heaven to praise God. So the psalmist is actually calling for us to praise God on earth and the angels in heaven to join in that praise from where they are in heaven. So you've got this awesome picture of heaven and earth joining together to praise God. That's the where. So it's us, humans on earth, praising God, and angels praising God in heaven. So after that, we'll look at the why, which is our second section. So praise God, why? And it's verse 2. What keeps us praising God when times are tough? What's our why? What keeps us praising God when times are tough? Sometimes we do find that we struggle to praise God, don't we? And that could be for a whole bunch of reasons. Could be that we struggle to praise him because he just doesn't really feel very close to us at the moment. Or because we're stressed about our workload or our family or a relationship or our home lives. We might feel bogged down in our sin, and that makes it hard to praise God. So whatever the reason, the question is, what keeps us praising God when times are tough? What is the why? It actually might interest you to hear that at the time when Psalm 150 was added to Psalms and used in that songbook of Israel, the Israelites themselves could have asked that question, how do we praise God in these times? They had no king. They had a small temple, which wasn't really what they thought they were promised. They had a corrupt priesthood. They had these leaders that were ungodly, and a tiny little colonized land, which also wasn't really the kind of land they thought they were promised. So when you think about that context, actually, you realize it's not really about whether our current circumstances make it easy to praise God for whatever reason. It's not really about that. Psalm 150 isn't a psalm that's being sung because it's really nice at the moment and everyone's really comfortable and we're all quite happy. Actually, instead, it's an expression of faith in God's promises, whatever our circumstances look like right now. It's a call to be praising him regardless of those current circumstances, even in the tough times we might find ourselves in. So with that in mind, verse 2 gives us two reasons to praise God. Verse 2, praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. There are two reasons. It's what God's done, his acts of power, and who he is, his surpassing greatness. When we think about what God's done, we think about his work in creation and redemption. So God created the universe, and the universe God created points us to him because of its genius and beauty and complexity. So we see through that a glimpse of what God is like and who he is. And Romans 1 talks about how if we've seen the world around us, then we've got reason to say God exists and we can see what he's like from that. So from the creation, we see what God's like. We see what God's like because we see how powerful he is. It's just words that he spoke and it's enough to bring things into being. And not just things, but life. The fact that God created us, the humans, when he knew how we would treat him is amazing as well. It shows us that God is gracious and kind and has compassion on sinful people like us. Because God did create us humans, and it's us that then rejected him and rejected his rule, even though he as the creator was the only one with the right to rule over us. The Bible tells us we've all sinned, and actually we've all become slaves to sin. We ignored God, we followed our own ideas about right and wrong, not his, and then in turn God rejected us, which is exactly what we deserve. We all deserve that punishment for how we've treated God. And that punishment is eternal rejection from him, cast out from his presence. And yet he didn't just create us and leave us be once we'd rejected him and reject us and that was it. He redeemed us too. He set us free from that slavery to sin by Jesus' death on the cross. So Jesus came, God as a man, his heavenly presence touching earth, lived the totally perfect life, never sinning at all, and then took the punishment we deserved by dying on the cross, the punishment that was coming our way for the sin we've done in our sinful lives. And then he was raised to life again, proving himself to be exactly who he said he was, the Messiah, God's heavenly presence, touching earth and dwelling among us. In Jesus, the same presence that we deserve to be cast out from reached out to us and redeemed us. And he brought us back from slavery to sin, offering us forgiveness for the sin, to now be called children of God instead. And so now, instead of the eternal rejection that we deserve from God, we can look forward to an eternity with him, with his heavenly presence dwelling among us in what the Bible calls the new creation. So it's the perfect new world that's to come. And that offer is still one that we can accept today. That is what God's done. That's his acts of power. So if you haven't accepted that offer, if you haven't put your trust in Jesus for your salvation, then please do think really carefully and seriously about whether you should do that. And feel free to talk to one of us afterwards at Redeemer if you want to find out more. Just to mention as well, those original readers and singers of Psalm 150 lived before Jesus came, and we live after Jesus came, obviously. But both groups of people, the original readers and also us, are saved by putting our trust in Jesus for for salvation from our sin. It's just that we put our trust in Jesus and we look back to him because he's already been, whereas they put their trust in Jesus in advance. They looked forward to the one God promised to send, the Messiah that would save them from their sins. So that's the why we should praise God, to go with our where from earlier. So it was where, verse 1, in his sanctuary, in two places, in his sanctuary on earth and in his mighty heavens. And then why, verse 2, for what God has done, his acts of power, and for who he is, his surpassing greatness. This is the big one. Let's look at how we should praise God, which is verses 3 to 6. Let's praise God how, verses 3 to 6. So I mentioned at the start that this passage has given me huge encouragement and huge challenge. The huge encouragement is why we should praise God. We have incredible reason to praise him. We could literally never have more reason to praise God because God's shown us this unimaginable, selfless love in Jesus by dying in our place and then offering us eternal life with him in his presence if we put our trust in him to save us and then we live his way. That was the huge encouragement. Now we're at a huge challenge. Let's find out why this is such a huge challenge. So I'll just read verses 3 to 6 first. So verse 3, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and lyre, praise him with tambourine and dancing, praise him with the strings and pipe, praise him with the clash of cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we get this list of instruments in those verses, and dancing is in there as well. And then the psalm ends with verse 6, the climax of the climax, which is let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Those instruments almost make us imagine this complete orchestra, don't they? Everything possible is involved. There's strings, there's percussion, and dancing as well. The variety in that list means it's pointing us to a picture of every part of our body praising God and being used to offer praise to God. Because every part of the body that you'd expect to be involved in making music is involved there. I didn't mention you've got the wind instruments as well at the start, so it's absolutely every part of our bodies being used to praise God. So there's no half measures, and also that with verse 6, the climax of the climax, basically gives us our answer to the question of how we should praise God, without reservation, with every part of us and completely wholeheartedly. And we need to remember the why here as well, because that makes sense of the how. So the why we should praise God, which was what he's done and who he is, makes sense of the how we should praise God, which is absolutely wholeheartedly, holding nothing back. Because actually, no part of the why we should praise God should inspire anything half-hearted from us. Not when we truly believe it. There's no space for like a shrug of the shoulders type response. And if you read Psalm 150 and you sort of think, oh, well, that's a bit over the top, isn't it? What's this all about? Then you don't really quite get it. You haven't quite grasped the significance of who God is and what he's done. So this is the huge challenge for us today, is to be wholehearted, genuinely wholehearted in our praise for God. And I want to be clear as well, because this is definitely a huge challenge for me as well. I think our British culture sort of expects us to be mostly fairly reserved and composed. And I don't really know for sure if you'd say this for yourself, but I'd say that that's kind of how I am 99% of the time. I wouldn't say I'm cold, but I'm sort of not showing massive emotion all the time in this extravagant show. So we read those verses and we notice the word dancing in particular in verse 4. And we must see that there's this difference between how we worship usually and how the psalmist tells us to in this psalm. And it's important to remember that we do all worship slightly differently in the way that it comes out of us. Verse 4 doesn't mean that we all have to dance. I'm not expecting that when we sing afterwards. It doesn't mean we all have to dance. It's how you feel. If that's how you feel you'd express best the praise that you want to give to God, then you can dance. That's not a wrong thing. But the freedom to express ourselves physically is important. So that could be through dancing. It could be raising your hands or clapping or whatever it is. And it's actually not so much about how the praise comes out of us, it's more about what's going on inside us, whether it's wholehearted and also reverent as well. So really, what's happening on the outside doesn't actually matter quite as much as what's happening on the inside. Just for a couple of minutes, we're going to think about verse 6 as well. Like I've said, it's the climax of the whole book of Psalms. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that word, everything, in Hebrew, which is the language it was originally written in, doesn't necessarily just mean everything as in each thing, every single thing. It's meaning the whole of. So again, we have this picture of 100% of something praising God. Let all of everyone that has breath praise the Lord. And one commentator said, if praise is a possibility because there's breath, then praise is to be given. If praise is a possibility because there's breath, then praise is to be given. I wonder as well if you could guess where that word breath first comes up in the whole Bible. It's Genesis 2, which is where God breathes the breath of life into Adam. So God breathed that breath of life into us, creating us, and now it's our job to breathe that breath back to God in praise. So that means, like we mentioned earlier, in the case of those original readers that weren't really in ideal circumstances, praising God isn't just for when it comes naturally and it's quite easy for us and things are nice at the moment, or when we're in the right mood, or if it doesn't make us stand out and look a bit weird. In fact, God deserves our constant, wholehearted praise. The requirement for praise to be given to God is simply having breath in our lungs, verse 6 tells us. So if praise is a possibility because there's breath, then praise is to be given. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And actually, that's not just what the psalmist would like to happen in verse 6. That's what the Bible tells us will happen one day. Revelation 5, verse 13 says this. It says, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, that's Jesus, be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever. That was Revelation 5, verse 13. So one day everything that has breath will praise the Lord. They'll praise the Lord with all that's in them, wholeheartedly. And we should aim to praise God with all that is in us, wholeheartedly, today. So obviously the question is our praise of God totally wholehearted? Is it with all that we are? When we sing in church, do we sing with understanding and feeling and conviction? Or I suppose the opposite would be sort of singing the words but not really meaning them, not really thinking about them, and drifting along. So if there was a scale between singing but not really meaning the words, and at the other end, singing with genuine understanding, meaning, conviction and feeling, really meaning the words we're singing, if we imagine that scale, where would you put yourself on it today? It might be that different days you're in slightly different places, or different stages of your life you've been in different parts of that scale. Well, what we want to do is, as we come to a close on this passage, take our praise of God and turn it slightly more into what it should be, the wholehearted praise. So slide it along that scale and make it more wholehearted. That's what this passage is calling us to do. So will you take your praise of God and slide it along the scale and make it more wholehearted today? If you need the encouragement to do that, then remember and be encouraged by who God is and what he's done. Remember that verse 6 as well, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, is ultimately where everything is headed, which we saw in Revelation, with every creature in earth, in heaven, under the earth, on the sea, and all that's in them praising God. So I think as we close, we'll read Psalm 150 together and join the psalmist in praising God with all that we are. Let's do that. So Psalm 150, just starting from verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word that teaches us and changes us. Help us to praise you on earth through Jesus. And thank you that there are so many in your mighty heavens praising you too. Thank you for such reason to praise you, for what you've done in creating and redeeming us. Thank you for your surpassing greatness, who you are. Please help us to praise you more with all that is in us, breathing back that breath you gave us in wholehearted praise to you. Help us to sing the words of these next songs, really meaning them wholeheartedly, and not just singing the words and letting it pass us by. In Jesus' name, amen.